This is Chairman Richko. I hope that everybody is home, staying warm and safe. Welcome to the February 18, 2021 meeting of the New Jersey Highlands Council. Before we get started, I'm going to ask our conference call moderator, Herb August, to provide instructions for members of the public and council members about how to participate in the meeting.
Thank you, Mr. Richko. All members of the public will remain on mute throughout the meeting. When it's time for public comment, Chairman Richko will make an announcement. At that time, members of the public wishing to speak should raise their hands in the Zoom application. For those participating via phone, please press star 9. You'll be identified by your name or the last four digits of your phone number, depending on how you're participating. At that time, I will unmute you. Please watch and or listen for instructions and note that there may be a delay before you are called on. Your patience is appreciated. When it's your turn to speak, please begin by providing your name and any organization that you are representing. And when you're finished speaking, please indicate that you are done. As a reminder, comments are limited to 3 minutes, and members of the public are limited to one comment per resolution and one comment during the general public comment at the end of the meeting. Council members, you now have the ability to mute and unmute yourself without assistance from either myself or other staff members. Okay. Please note, if there's extraneous noise on your line, a staff member may mute you so that it does not interrupt the meeting. Lastly, council members, if you're experiencing any kind of technical difficulties, please do not hesitate to call the executive director at 201-208-4311. I repeat, 201-208-4311. Mr. Chairman, I am done with my opening remark.
Thank you, Herb. Annette, please call the roll.
Kurt Alstead.
Here.
Tim Daugherty. Michael Dressler.
Here.
Michael Francis.
Here.
Robert Haltaway.
Here.
Bruce James.
Here.
Carl Richko.
Here.
Michael Sebetich.
Here.
Dan Van Abs.
Here.
James Vizioli.
Here.
Richard Vodin.
Here.
Robert Walton.
Here.
Thank you, Annette. Would you please also call the roll of the Highlands Council staff and other colleagues that are present?
Lisa Plevin.
Here.
Christine LaRocca.
Here.
Gabrielle Gallagher.
Here.
James Humphreys. James, no?
He's muted.
Here. Here you go. He's here, right? Yeah. Okay.
Yes.
Mary Jude Haddock-Weiler.
Here.
Kerry Green.
Here.
Ranji Prasad. Corey Piasecki.
Here.
Herb August.
I am here.
Carol Dickton.
Here.
Tom Taglarini. And also Lauren Nathan LaRusso.
Here.
And Jason Kane.
Here.
Thank you.
Thank you. Annette, will you please read the Open Public Meetings Act?
Yes, this meeting is being held in accordance with the Open Public Meetings Act. The Highlands Council sent written notice of the time, date, and method of participation in this meeting to newspapers of circulation throughout the state and posted notice on the Highlands Council website. Pursuant to the declared COVID-19 public health emergency and state of emergency, and in order to maintain recommended social distancing practices, the meeting is being conducted by means of teleconference. As stated in the public notice, any interested party may participate by telephone. The notice also advises that participants may provide comments during the meeting or by emailing them to the Highlands Council prior to or following the meeting up to the close of business on Friday, February 19th, 2021.
Thank you. The Pledge of Allegiance, the flag will be held by our council member Sebetich. Will you please join me in the Pledge of Allegiance? I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Mr. Chairman, if I could just confirm, I believe Mr. Daugherty has joined us, but I'd like to confirm that by asking him to raise his hand at this time so that we can afford him the opportunity to mute and unmute himself like other council members. So Mr. Doherty, if you are on the line, please use the raised hand function or signal us. We'll be looking at the video screen. Oh, there it is.
There Excellent. He is. All Excellent. Right.
We will go ahead and make it. Mr. Doherty, you'll have the opportunity to mute and unmute yourself at this time.
Yeah, I believe I'm unmuted at the present moment.
Well, that's so. Great. We have all council members present now.
Yay.
Chairman's report. We were all deeply saddened by the passing of Barbara Alstead, Kurt's wife. I know I speak for the entire council and staff expressing our sympathy and condolences to Kurt, his children, and family. Kurt, please know that during this difficult time, you have our thoughts, prayers, and support. And I know, Kurt, that you wanted to say a few words.
Well, thank you, Carl, and thank you, everybody. It certainly has been a difficult time, and the outreach, prayers, support, gifts, food, everything has been really helpful in helping us transition, and we are really buoyed by everybody's love. And I just wanted to publicly acknowledge all of you and thank you and members of the public as well. The outreach has been really heartwarming to us. And especially Tim, I'm glad you just came on. Tim and his wife were very gracious and sent us a nice gift basket last week. And Tim, every bit of it was consumed in one night. We had a lot of people over in the house. So thank you so much for that, for the thoughtfulness of sending that over. And thank you again, Carl.
Thank you, Kurt. I know also that you received a quite an important call from our governor too. So that was very nice of him to do that. And again, anything that we can do, please let us know. We move on to the executive director's report, Lisa Plevin.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And also on behalf of the staff of the council, Kurt, our condolences as well. And if there's anything that we can do to be of assistance, please don't hesitate to let us know. So moving on to the executive director's report, obviously the council's office in Chester continues to remain closed and we all continue to be fully functional as staff. So I'm very grateful for that. As I've mentioned prior, the State Planning Commission has recently endorsed the Highlands Regional Master Plan. This long-awaited action means that any municipality or county deemed by the Highlands Council to be in conformance with the Regional Master Plan, whether previously or in the future, is also deemed to have received plan endorsement from the State Planning Commission. And I think as was suggested by a number of people in past meetings, we recently sent out an outreach letter to all our municipalities and counties in the region, highlighting the benefits of this coordination. And I believe we also sent a copy to all the council members, so you should have that information as well. Moving on to plan conformance, as you know, today the council will be considering Washington Borough's petition for plan conformance, and staff will be providing a presentation on that shortly. For municipally issued exemptions, since my last report, the council has been notified of 9 of these exemptions. For West Milford Township, there were 6 exemption number 5s. For Montville Township, there were 2 exemption number 5s. And for Byram Township, there was 1 exemption number 4. Under project review updates, staff has completed 1 water quality management plan amendment review for a proposed residential development in Jefferson Township. The applicant is seeking a site-specific amendment to the Sussex County Water Quality Management Plan to convert the second floor of 3 existing office and retail buildings into 23 one-bedroom apartments. And because the project is located in the Lake Community subzone of the existing community zone, Executive Order 114 is not triggered, and the project was determined to be not subject to Highlands Council review. For planning area consistency reviews, staff has completed 2 of these reviews and is working on a 3rd. An applicant in Mahwah Township, Bergen County, is planning to construct a parking storage area for an existing car dealership on an adjacent lot, and Highlands Council staff found the project to be consistent with conditions. Secondly, an applicant in Lebanon Borough, Hunterdon County, is constructing 280 apartment units, 20% of which are affordable, in the designated Lebanon Borough Highlands Center. And lastly, an applicant in Clinton Town, Hunterdon County, is proposing a residential development consisting of 56 units and 30,250 square feet of retail space divided into three pad sites. And Highlands Council staff is currently reviewing this. For the preservation area for HAD reviews, staff has completed a Highlands applicability determination for an exemption number 9 in the preservation area. This is a project that spans Bethlehem and Union Townships in Hunterdon County. The applicant is seeking an exemption 9 to rehabilitate and improve safety on a portion of County Route 635 between Van Sickle Road and Mine Hill in Bethlehem and Union Townships. And the Highlands Council staff found this project to be consistent with the regional master plan. On January 19th, the Highlands Council issued a request for qualifications, or an RFQ, seeking qualified candidates to serve for a 3-year period as special counsel for Highlands Act litigation. Proposals are being accepted through March 19th, and if anyone is interested, the RFQ is available on the council website. Also, as I mentioned at the last council meeting, the HDC Bank did issue a request for proposals for technical assistance related to the establishment of a municipal average value, and the deadline for these responses is actually tomorrow. So we'll keep you posted on that. We are very happy on the personnel front to report two exciting things. First of all, our full-time land preservation coordinator / regional planner position has been filled recently by Steve Simone, who is actually with us, and maybe he can wave. I don't know if you can see him. But Steve comes to us from his recent position as a principal planner for the County of Ocean Planning Department. He has over 8 years of experience in a wide range of planning responsibilities, from working on housing rehabilitation programs and transportation for senior citizens, to developing the county's first wastewater management plan and managing federal grants for the county airport. So we're very pleased to welcome Steve to our team and very excited to get him working on our land preservation programs, as well as the planning duties that he will have associated with plan conformance. Additionally, staff member Christina Patagna resigned from her position as a resource management specialist in January. The position was posted to the Civil Service Commission and Highlands Council website, and applications are being accepted for that through March 5th. And lastly, our next council meeting is scheduled for March 18th. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Lisa. Do any council members have questions for our executive director? Okay.
All right.
Hearing none, next on the agenda is approval of the minutes of the January meeting. May I please have a motion and a second? Please remember to identify yourself as you're making the motion. Who would like to make that motion?
Mike Dressler, so moved.
Okay, moved by Councilmember Dressler, seconded by?
Mark Francis, second.
Okay, seconded by Councilmember Francis. Any discussion? Hearing none, please call.
Councilmember Alstead.
Yes.
Councilmember Daugherty.
Yes.
Councilmember Dressler.
Yes.
Councilmember Francis.
Yes.
Councilmember Haltaway.
Here.
Councilmember yes. James.
Yes.
Councilmember Sebetich.
Yes.
Councilmember Van Abs.
Yes.
Councilmember Vizioli.
Yes.
Councilmember Voden.
Yes.
Councilmember Walton.
Yes.
Chairman Richko.
Yes.
Minutes pass.
Next, we have our executive session minutes from the January meeting. May I please have a motion and a second? Who would like to make that motion?
So Mike Dressler, so moved.
Okay, moved by Councilmember Dressler. We need a second.
Councilmember Vizioli will second.
Okay, second by Councilmember Vizioli. We have a motion and second. Is there any council discussion? Hearing none. Annette, please call.
Councilmember Dressler.
Yes.
I'm sorry.
Okay.
Councilmember Alstead.
Yes.
Sorry, Kurt. Councilmember Daugherty.
Yes.
Councilmember Dressler.
Yes.
Councilmember Francis.
Yes.
Councilmember Holtaway.
Aye.
Councilmember James.
Yes.
Councilmember Sebetich.
Yes.
Councilmember Van Abs.
Yes.
Councilmember Vizioli.
Yes.
Councilmember Voden.
Yes.
Councilmember Walton.
Yes.
Chairman Richko.
Yes.
Minutes pass.
We now move on to the Plan Conformance Committee. We have two resolutions to consider from this committee. The first is approval of the petition for plan conformance from Washington Borough. I'm going to ask Committee Chair Dressler to lead us through this resolution. Councilman Dressler?
Chairman, as you know, we had our meeting with plan conformance last week. It went well. We came to a decision on a number of issues, of which Washington was one. Washington Borough was one. And I'd ask either, I don't know if Corey or James is on board right now. Maybe they could take us through this, or Lisa.
Yes, Corey is going to give a brief presentation.
Okay.
I'll share my screen here. Hang on.
We see you, Corey.
Okay, I'm just trying to, my screen won't share.
Just let me know if you're having a problem and I can share it.
Right, James can do it, Corey, if you
need. Yeah, James, why don't you share?
Yeah, just give me 1 second, apologize.
Excellent, we can see it.
Okay, sorry about that. So I'm here today to present to you the Borough of Washington's petition for plan conformance. Washington Borough was incorporated in 1868 and has an area of over 1,200 acres lying solely within the planning area. The borough is located approximately 10 miles north of Route 78 and is traversed by Route 31 and Route 57, which also serves as its main street, known as Washington Avenue. Today, the borough is petitioning the Highlands Council for plan conformance and to designate the entirety of the borough as a Highlands Center. Washington Borough has been a de facto center since its incorporation as a municipality, forming as a result of the access to multimodal transportation options, including the Delaware and Lackawanna Western Railways, the Morris Canal, and as previously mentioned, State Highways 31 and 57. The borough is currently a designated center with the State Planning Commission under the State Development and Redevelopment Plan. Slide. As you can see here, the borough is mostly surrounded by planning area with preservation area just to the north. The vast majority of the borough is in the existing community zone of the land use capability zone map, with a small area of protection zone in the southwest corner of the borough. Slide. Every center has resources that require protection regardless of being in the center. James, if you could circle your mouse around the HERS area. The Highlands Environmental Resource Zones depicted here provide resource-specific protections of sensitive lands similar to that of the protection zone and of the land use capability zone map. Slide. A public comment period was held regarding Washington Borough's petition for plan conformance from November 23rd through December 23rd. No public comments were received regarding the borough's petition for plan conformance. We did, however, recently receive comment in support of the petition from the Office of Planning Advocacy. We worked closely with the office and resolved any questions they had, resulting in no changes to the petition. As a reminder, Washington Borough is currently a state plan endorsed center, and as such, the Office of Planning Advocacy and the State Planning Commission have great interest in advocating for a thriving Washington Borough while ensuring the protection of its limited sensitive resources. Slide, please. As the council knows, the implementation plan and schedule is a fluid document that changes based on changing circumstances. Each item in the IPS requires an approved scope of services from staff before work can begin and is qualified for reimbursement. This allows staff to ensure the implementation funding spent is consistent with the latest procedures and direction of the council. The borough's implementation plan and schedule includes funding for a master plan reexamination report, downtown redevelopment planning, wastewater management planning, center planning, and a phase one TDR assessment, among other items. Additional tasks are envisioned as a condition of the borough's approved petition. Funding for those tasks will be sought from the council in the coming fiscal years. The borough will not be required to complete unfunded items in the IPS, and the full FY21 implementation plan and schedule is included in members' packets and was posted on our website prior to this meeting. Slide, please. Staff recommends that Washington Borough's petition for plan conformance with center designation be approved with conditions. Those conditions include adoption of a council-approved Highlands land use ordinance to include the Highlands environmental resource zones, the Highlands master plan Highlands element, environmental resource inventory, and a water use and conservation management plan, and wastewater management planning, as well as the continued adherence to the implementation plan and schedule. And that's it for Washington Borough. Are there any questions?
Any council members have any questions for Corey? Okay, hearing none. Council Member Dressler, do you have any other comments about this?
No, Lisa, do you have anything to add to that?
I'm sorry, I didn't hear you.
I was just asking Lisa if she had anything to add to that.
No, I think that was a good overview. Thank you.
Okay, no, we're good.
Thank you, Council Member Dressler and Corey. I understand we have a representative from Washington Borough. Town Manager Matt Hall is with us. Mr. Hall, if you'd like to raise your hand now so we can unmute you to hear your comments. So is Mr. Hall there? Yeah.
I think you should be able to hear me. Can everyone hear me?
We do.
Yes.
Good afternoon, everyone. Thank you. Thank you very much for considering our petition. It's been a pleasure to work with Corey, Lisa, James, area, a number of other folks who I probably can't see right now. We're excited about coming into conformance with Highlands. As Corey said, Washington by default has been a center for the region, the southern, southeastern Warren County region for probably 150 years or more. And, we believe that by coming into conformance, we can access the tools and the funding that we need in order to, pursue comprehensive wastewater management planning, stormwater planning, all the things that we need in order to meet the challenges of, just thriving as a municipality in this day and age, economically, environmentally, and, knowing that those two things are not mutually exclusive. So we very much appreciate the council's assistance in this and the staff, and we're looking forward to moving through the process.
Thank you, Mr. Hall, for your comments. Before we begin council discussion and public comment, can I please get a motion and a second on the resolution to approve petition for plan conformance and center designation from Washington Borough, Warren County?
We need a motion. I'll make the motion, Mike Dressler.
Okay, moved by Council Member Dressler. We need a second.
Second from Van Abs.
Seconded by Council Member Van Abs.
Either one.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any council discussion? If there's no council discussion, This is a voting matter with public comment. And before I ask Herb to provide instructions for commenting, I'd just like to remind members of the public that right now we are accepting comments on the Washington Borough resolution only. All other comments should be held for later on in the meeting. Herb, please instruct the public on commenting.
Thank you, Chairman Richko. Members of the public wishing to speak should use the raise hand option in Zoom or press star 9 on your phones. You'll be identified by your name or the last four digits of your phone number. Please follow the instructions and remember that there may be a delay before you're called on and before you're unmuted. Please begin by providing your name and any organization you're representing and indicate when you are finished with your comment that you are done. As a reminder, comments are limited to 3 minutes. All right, Mr. Chairman, I have Julia Summers wishes to make a public comment at this time. Julia, I'm going to unmute you.
Yes, good afternoon. I'm Julia Summers, Executive Director of the New Jersey Highlands Coalition. We roundly support this resolution. It's important that Washington Borough become a vibrant and economically healthy regional center. It clearly is the regional center for this part of Warren County. The only thing that I would point out, which was not discussed, and I recognize it really doesn't necessarily fall under the purview of the Highlands Council, or even necessarily the state, but certainly probably DEP, is there is a Superfund site in the town. And the plume that is going from this site, which is now, I believe, spread outside of the town, is important that it be addressed. It's not that it isn't being addressed, it's just that, you know, we do need to keep track of what is going on with that site. But we roundly support this resolution and hope that the council will approve it.
Julia, thank you for your comments. Herb, are there any other members of the public that would like to speak on this resolution?
I don't see any at present, but I would like to just remind, if you're on the phone, you can press star 9 to raise your hand. If you're on the Zoom program, you can raise your hand. If you're unable to find that command within Zoom, our staff is looking to make sure that you are represented and heard. So if we could just wait another minute, we do have another commenter. The last four digits are 4723. Please listen to the instructions on your phone on how to unmute yourself.
Four, seven, two, three. You can begin your comments.
Yeah, it's Hank Klopp, farmer in Tewksbury. I got a question on the sending the setup that Washington produced here. I believe probably the Highlands, the council had paid for it by grants. I don't know how much money is spent on something like this, but all through everything that I read on this resolution, I don't see a sending district. Am I, did I miss something, or I see the center, I see everything else, but for the TDR program, where in Washington is the sending district for this application? I'll let you, you can do whatever, I don't know, somebody can answer that.
Oh. As I've said to you in the past, Hank, that certainly our executive director could always answer your questions. We don't really want to get into a dialogue, but I can answer your question real quickly. There is not a sending district for this. So thank you for your comments. Anyone else like to address the council on this resolution? Herb, do we have anyone else from the public?
At this time, I have no other members of the public wishing to make a comment on this specific resolution.
Okay. All right. So let's see. Do council members have any further discussion on this resolution?
Yeah, I do. Member Walton.
Yes.
Why not a receiving center? I mean, Washington Borough is densely populated. You are, you know, shoulder to shoulder in that borough. There's not a lick of grass to save. no disrespect to the borough, it's a fine borough, but if there's ever a spot to stick a bunch of housing tightly put together and create a receiving zone, it's Washington Borough. And here we go again with a perfect scenario, and we're just going to pass it along to a bunch of dough and not ask or require that they become a receiving zone in exchange for taking our money. So what are we doing, guys? We're not, this isn't something we're, that's optional. We're supposed to do this. And here we go again.
May I?
So, yes, Corey, I was going to ask you to elaborate, but it is my understanding that one of the next several steps that the borough is going to consider is examination of potentially a TDR receiving zone. Corey, please elaborate.
Yeah, Member Walton, included in the borough's implementation plan and schedule is a phase one TDR analysis, and that's essentially the fiscal component to see if there is a fiscally viable option there.
Okay, thank you. Any other council members have comments? All right, hearing none, Annette, please poll.
Councilmember Alstead.
Yes.
Councilmember Daugherty.
Yes.
Councilmember Dressler.
Yes.
Councilmember Francis.
Yes.
Councilmember Haltaway.
Yes.
Councilmember James.
Yes.
Councilmember Sevetich.
Yes.
Councilmember Van Abs.
Yes.
Councilmember Vizioli.
Yes.
Councilmember Vodin.
Yes.
Councilmember Walton.
No.
Chairman Richko.
Yes.
Resolution passes.
Our next resolution from the Plan Conformance Committee is regarding a Highlands Development Area designation in Rockaway Township. Councilmember Dressler, would you please provide us with background on this resolution?
Sure. Again, Chairman, I'd ask staff to give an update as to what this involves. They are far more qualified than I am.
Okay.
All right. Thank you. Kerry Green will give us a presentation.
Sure, great, thank you, good afternoon. And James is gonna advance my slides for me too because my sharing doesn't work. So good afternoon, it's been quite a while since the council has had to make a determination for a proposed project. In fact, the last redevelopment project that you heard was in 2017 for a project in Bloomsbury Borough. Recall that if projects in the preservation area cannot utilize any of the Highlands Act exemptions, they are required to obtain Highlands Preservation Area approval and meet criteria found at the Highlands rules at NJAC 738, as well as the Regional Master Plan and in the Act. If projects cannot meet these criteria, a waiver from those standards can be obtained, and there are three main waivers. One is for public health and safety, two is for redevelopment, or three is to avoid a takings. The council has a direct role and authority in redevelopment area waivers. According to the Highlands Act, redevelopment can occur in previously developed areas that contain at least 70% impervious coverage. A two-part process requires input from the Highlands Council to designate the redevelopment area, and then the applicant can apply to the DEP for the Highlands Preservation Area approval with a waiver. You may recall in 2019, that the Highlands Council adopted an addendum to the Regional Master Plan for the adoption of Highlands Redevelopment Area procedures to formalize the role that both staff and the council play in the designation of Highlands Redevelopment Areas. Today, you are considering the application for a Highlands Redevelopment Area in Rockaway Township. The application was prepared and submitted in accordance with the adopted procedures. If the council designates the redevelopment area today, the applicant will then be able to apply to the DEP for their Highlands Preservation Area approval with a waiver and to the township for site plan approval. Next slide, please. CBOW Meats is applying to the Highlands Council for a redevelopment area designation for the expansion of their employee parking, which will be covered by a solar carport. The expansion does not meet the limits of an exemption, so the applicant must apply for that other Highlands Preservation Area approval. The project cannot meet all of those standards and therefore will need a waiver for redevelopment. The applicant has met with council staff and the DEP to discuss the proposed expansion. CBOW Meats has been in operation on this parcel since 2018. The facility processes and packages various meat products for retail sale. The surrounding land use is light manufacture and industrial. And the subject parcel is about 9 acres in size, approximately 4.5 acres are undeveloped forest and wetlands. And the parcel has been developed essentially as it is today since before the date of the act, which is in 2004. Cbound Meats submitted plans depicting a Highlands redevelopment area that includes nearly 83% legally existing impervious coverage, and they are requesting an additional nearly 0.5 acre of new impervious, which includes a 53 additional parking spaces for an expanded workforce. Upon occupying the facility in 2018, Cbound Meats installed a large solar array on the building's roof and over one section of the existing parking. The proposed new solar carport to be installed above the new parking area will add to an energy offset of 36%. Additionally, the facility proposes to upgrade its stormwater facilities and proposes the use of pervious pavement for the parking area, other green infrastructure, low impact development practices, and in the stormwater plan. Next slide, please. Please note that the red outline on this figure is the proposed redevelopment area, which is a total of 4.32 acres. Within this red outline lies the current building and parking, as well as a front lawn area, which is the location of the proposed expansion. That yellow stippled area is depicting where the new disturbance would occur for the new parking, new stormwater facilities, and solar carport. This aerial photo is not recent enough to show the solar installation on the roof in case you're looking for it. The proposed area of development is 3/4 acre, of which less than 1/2 acre is the new impervious surface. Currently, this lawn area, which we'll see in the following picture, is maintained with a scattering of street landscaping, and the remainder of the parcel will remain undisturbed as forest and wetlands. Next slide, please. So this front lawn area, which lies along the frontage of the property on Green Pond Road in Rockaway Township, contains the current underground stormwater facilities and landscaping trees, and is where the new parking area is proposed. Next slide. Although our aerial photography does not show it, a solar carport was installed recently over existing parking along the northern end of the site, and the proposed new parking area and carport will look similar. Next slide, please. Forested and wetlands areas to the north and east on the parcel will remain and be protected with a conservation easement. Next slide, please. Staff assessed potential resource impacts in preparation of a consistency determination as follows. The parcel lies in the existing community zone, as well as the environmentally constrained subzones and protection zone. The proposed disturbance is located in the existing community zone. The proposed development is in keeping with the pattern of development in the vicinity, and it meets local zoning requirements. Next slide. As you can see, a tributary to the Beaver Brook, a C1 stream, runs along the eastern boundary of the subject parcel, and much of the proposed redevelopment area is within the mapped Highlands Open Water Protection Area and Riparian Area. However, the new parking lot being proposed for an already disturbed area will not affect Highlands open waters, their buffers, or riparian areas. Next slide, please. No forested areas lie within the proposed redevelopment area, and the parcel does not lie in the forest resource area. Next slide, please. No critical habitat for rare, threatened, or endangered species is mapped within the developed portions of the subject parcel. The rest of the property, which will remain undeveloped, contains mapped habitat for bald eagle, great blue heron, wood turtle, Indiana bat, northern long-eared bat, and northern copperhead. There are no steep slopes, prime groundwater recharge area, or other resources mapped for the redevelopment area. And although this site does lie within a wellhead protection area, no potential contaminant sources are operating in or proposed for this facility. Next slide, please. Please note that the parcel is already within the sewer service area and water purveyor area, and no expansion of these utilities is needed. A mitigation planting plan has been developed for the loss of the streetscape trees in the front of the building. Construction is to only occur in previously disturbed areas. No forested sections of the parcel will be disturbed. And when the applicant applies to the DEP for their Highlands Preservation Area approval, this designation of the redevelopment area will qualify them for the redevelopment waiver. Next slide, please. I'm running out of place here. Sorry about that. Please note that the parcel is already with, oops, I'm sorry. I already read that. Staff found that the application to be complete and it met the requirements of the redevelopment area procedures. We conducted a site visit, prepared a draft consistency determination, which details the resource assessment, and we prepared a staff recommendation report, both of which were posted for a 30-day public comment period. The applicant also provided public notice to the adjacent property owners, to utility companies, to the township, and placed appropriate notices in the newspapers of record. One public comment was received during the 30-day public comment period, and the comment response was posted on February 9th to our website. Next slide, please. Next slide.
500.
Staff recommends that the council find the application for the redevelopment area consistent with the following conditions. The applicant is to revise the stormwater plans to incorporate additional green infrastructure, which may include the addition of rain gardens, biofiltration basins, and bioswales. The waiver required from the DEP is from the standard of 3% impervious surface on the preservation area parcel. And this will be possible with the redevelopment area. A conservation easement shall be perfected and filed with the County of Morris, and a copy shall be provided to the Highlands Council. Staff from the Highlands Council will monitor the easement as part of our annual monitoring program. Please note, however, that this easement will be held by the DEP and will only be finalized upon the issuance of the Highlands Preservation Area approval. And upon Highlands Council's approval of the redevelopment area, the applicant will be able to apply for site plan approval at the Township Planning Board. And upon that local approval, the township must provide notice to the Highlands Council. Next slide. I'm happy to answer any questions you may have. And I believe, Mr. Chairman, some representatives from the applicant are here to make a presentation.
Thank you, Carrie. Do any council members have any questions for Carrie Green?
I do, Mr. Chairman, yes. Member Vizioli. How close is any proposed construction to the C1 protected stream? Are we infringing on that area at all?
James, can you go back to the slide with the right near the beginning with the redevelopment area map? It's that third one.
That one.
So you see the stream on the right-hand side of yes. The image. The yellow dotted area is the area where the construction is to occur, and it is outside that 300-foot Highlands Open Water Protection Area.
Okay, okay.
Mr. Chairman?
Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, Mike Dressler.
Yes, Council Member Dressler.
When the Plan for Conformance Committee went through this, we had a unanimous vote to approve it. It seemed like this was the exact example as to why we have waivers. We're not having any, it's a de minimis disturbance of the area, and it provides, you know, additional jobs to the area. It's going to be 53 parking spaces. There'll be additional workforce for SIBO meets, and I think it's a good project, and I think that everyone on the committee believes so too.
I'd like to add to that, Richie Bowden. It is providing much needed economic development and some badly needed jobs for the area. We all know we need that. But what came up at the committee meeting, which wasn't brought up here, this applicant is going to go through considerable expense to meet the standards required. They're going to put in two underground detention basins. They're using porous pavement in the parking lot. They're putting in a very expensive stormwater filter system. They're going to improve the signage and landscaping. They're going to put in new sidewalks and planting of native trees. I think this is a very good application.
Thanks, Rich.
Thank you. I'm also on that committee, and I agree, and I really like the idea that they're putting solar panels on top of the proposed new parking area. So do any other council members have any discussion on this or any questions for Carrie or for council member Dressler? Okay, well, thank you, council member Dressler and Carrie. I understand we have, we're joined by two professionals from the T&M Associates who would like to speak on behalf of the application. If those individuals would please raise your hand now so we could unmute you, and please begin by introducing yourself. So any members from the T&M Associates, any representatives, please raise your hand now. I see that there's someone on right now. Mr.
They've
Smith?
They've all been unmuted.
Okay, I see Mr. Smith.
Yes. Okay. I think how's everybody doing? Erica as well. My name's Ken Smith from T&M Associates. I was the design engineer on the project. I think Carrie Green did a great job of explaining the project and the benefits that it will have. I don't have anything else to add unless anybody has any questions.
Okay. I think there's also another representative from T&M. Is that correct, Mr. Smith?
Yes. Yes. Erica Niklicki and Mike Thomas are also on.
Okay. Ms. Niklicki, I think, is she on? Do I see?
Yes, I'm here. I believe I'm unmuted.
No, you're fine. Yes, we can hear you.
Okay. Yeah, so Carrie Green did a fabulous job presenting the overall project. It's been wonderful working with her on this. She's been very helpful explaining this process to us. And I think the project speaks for itself. I mean, overall, the stormwater management has been designed to be in compliance with the rules, and the project avoids the natural habitats that are adjacent to the site. Upon completion, there will be additional landscaping and, solar, which is definitely a benefit to the area and to the development. I don't really think there's much to really say. We appreciate you meeting with us tonight.
All right, thank you for your comments. Anyone else from T&M? Okay. Well, thank you, Ms. Niklicki and Mr. Smith. Before we begin council discussion and public comment, can I please get a motion and a second on the resolution for designation of a Highlands redevelopment area in Rockaway Township?
So Mike Dressler, so moved.
Okay, moved by council member Dressler. We need a second.
Richie Voden will second.
And council member Voden seconds it. We have a motion and a second. Is there any council discussion?
If I may, just briefly.
Council member Van Epps.
Yes, so people have mentioned how good a fit this is. This is why the redevelopment area process is there. But the other thing I would mention is the timeline for this project was, as government agencies go, this was moving at lightning speed. And I want to commend the staff for their work with the applicant.
Very good, thank you. Anyone else from the council? All right, this is a voting matter with public comment. Again, these are just comments about the redevelopment area in Rockaway. All other matters should be held for later in the meeting. Herb, please instruct the public on commenting.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Members of the public wishing to speak should use the raise hand option in Zoom or press star 9 at this time. You'll be identified by your name or last four digits of your number. And please follow the instructions. Remember, there may be a delay before you are called on and before you are unmuted. Mr. Chairman, we have, again, Ms. Julia Summers wishing to make a public comment. Julia, I'm going to unmute you at this time.
Thanks very much. This is Julia Summers, Executive Director, New Jersey Highlands Coalition. There is one other benefit that nobody has mentioned, and that is the easement that will be placed over the most environmentally sensitive resources on this site, which will really ensure that in the future, they won't be disturbed. That is definitely a benefit. So we support this redevelopment proposal.
Thank you, Julia. Any other comments from the public?
Again, Mr. Chairman, I would ask that we wait another 10 or 15 seconds just to allow anybody who wishes to use the raise hand function or star 9 on their cell phones or telephones. I don't have anybody currently, but that may change in the next couple of seconds or so. Yeah, Mr. Chairman, at this time, I still do not have anybody wishing to make a comment on this particular resolution.
We'll close the public comment on this. Do council members have any further comments?
Carl, would you ask our attorney to give me a call on my line? I have to ask her a question before I do anything with this particular motion.
Okay. So you want to wait till you get the information before you vote. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay, so let's just take a little break here, just a second, so that the chief counsel can call you. You have a question about recusal or?
Yes. Okay. Oh, right. Look at that. She's really good. Let me mute myself.
All right.
Hi.
Okay, well, we don't want to hear this conversation, so why don't you mute?
He is muted. He is muted, Mr. Chairman.
Well, let me, if you don't mind, Mr. Chairman, just take the opportunity to thank Corey Piasecki and Kerry Green for their exceptional presentations. Thank you.
I agree. I was going to mention that also. Totally agree. So, and we'll observe Lisa drinking water from the Highlands as we're waiting.
From a newly conforming town in the Highlands, I might add.
Parsippany, correct.
Yeah.
Mr. Chairman, it appears that Mr. James is off the phone at this time.
Okay. I am.
You're all safe?
We have great counsel. Yes.
Okay.
I am going to recuse myself to a possible conflict of interest on this particular motion. There may be a conflict of interest, and rather than violate something, I'm recusing myself on the vote.
Okay. Thank you, Councilmember James. So there's no further discussion on this resolution. So please poll.
Councilmember Alstead.
Yes.
Councilmember Daugherty.
Yes.
Councilmember Dressler.
Yes.
Councilmember Francis.
Yes.
Councilmember Holtaway.
Aye.
Councilmember Sebetich.
Yes.
Councilmember Van Abs.
Yes.
Councilmember Vizioli.
Yes.
Councilmember Voden.
Yes.
Councilmember Walton.
Yes.
Chairman Richko.
Yes.
Resolution passes.
Next, we have the Audit Committee. I'm going to turn things over to Committee Chair Walton to provide us with background on this resolution.
All right, well, good afternoon again, everyone. So it's that time of year again where we get to approve the resolution accepting the audit report. Again, the audit inspects and reviews the bookkeeping of the Highlands Council staff, as well as how we administer federal grants. And as is the case every year, they found no material deficiencies. Everything was performed as it is supposed to be. The only thing that the committee noted again is that we would prefer to at some point have a different vendor look at the books. It is still Mercadian. They are the low bidder, lowest qualified bidder year in, year out. This is not a reflection on them. It's simply a wish to have a second set of eyes or different set of eyes looking at the books. To that end, they do change their auditors, so it is not the same staff person every year. Nonetheless, we would at some point like to see somebody else look at the books. But the main point that we need to focus on is for today's resolution is that the books are in proper order. So we have a resolution on our agenda to accept the report for 2020 and direct the committee to continue to oversee the proper implementation of the audit requirements in accordance with state law, which is our task. So unless there are any questions, I will move the resolution.
Hey, thank you, Councilmember Walton. By the way, behind you on your screen, is that a picture of an old Highlands Council meeting from a few years ago? All right.
He's at a family reunion, I think. I think he's at a family reunion.
Before we begin council discussion and public comment, can I please get a motion and a second on the resolution? It was moved by Council Member Walton. We need a second.
I'll second it.
Second by Council Member James. Thank you, Council Member Walton, for your presentation. Any council discussion? All right. We have a motion and a second. And this is a voting matter with public comment. And it's just a reminder that any public comments are just about the audit report. Herb, please instruct the public on commenting.
I'm sure there'll be a lot of exciting and entertaining public comments on this one, Mr. Yes. Chairman. Members of the public, you should be reminded that you can use the raise hand function on your Zoom call or press *9 on your phones, and I'll identify you by your name or last four digits of your phone number. I think I've said it enough times. Mr. Chairman, I'm going to give it another 10 seconds until somebody raises their hand or press *9 on their phones so that we can see if anybody wishes to make a comment on this particular resolution. And with that, Mr. Chairman, I do not see a member of the public wishing to make a comment on the resolution at this time.
Thank you, Herb. We'll close the public comment. Do council members have any further discussion on this resolution? Hearing none, Annette, please poll.
Councilmember Alstead.
Yes.
Councilmember Daugherty.
Yes.
Councilmember Dressler.
Yes.
Councilmember Francis.
Yes.
Councilmember Holtaway.
Aye.
Councilmember James.
Yes.
Councilmember Sepetich.
Yes.
Councilmember Van Abs.
Yes.
Councilmember Vizioli.
Yes.
Councilmember Vodin.
Yes.
Councilmember Walton.
Yes.
Chairman Richko.
Yes.
Resolution passes.
We move on to old and new business. Do any council members have anything for old or new business they would like to discuss?
Mr. Chairman, Richie Vodin.
Council member
comments. At our last meeting, after we had a short discussion on a TDR program, I was encouraged to participate in a briefing with the staff on an informational session on the TDR program with other council members. I did attend the meeting, and I came away with a few comments on a few points I made at this meeting on the TDR program and the receiving zones that I'd like to make. First of all, the receiving zones are an essential part, a very crucial component of the TDR program. The TDR program, as it's set up, as included in the Act, is the only means to provide compensation to Highlands landowners for their loss. We do have the farmland preservation, open space programs, but they're not Highlands programs. They're available to any landowner in the state. Points I'd like to make are, the Highlands Act states that this council shall not adopt the regional master plan unless it recommends receiving zones in a planning area. And it further states that this council shall identify areas within the planning area that are appropriate as voluntary receiving zones that constitute 4% of the land area of the planning zone. The same points are covered in the master plan and in the DEP rules. In our own master plan, it says that without receiving zones, a market-based TD program will not succeed. There are no receiving zones. There's no recommended or identified or documented receiving zones. There are no receiving zones. This TDR program is incomplete. It will not work without receiving zones. And it's important for landowner compensation. We adopted the master plan without identifying or recommending 4% of the planning area as receiving zones. Therefore, we have a master plan that's not in compliance with the Act or the master plan. Let me look at my notes here. We did establish and adopted a TDR program without receiving zones. Without receiving zones, we do not have a TDR program that conforms to the Act. We're not in compliance with the Highlands Act. As a council, that's us, we have been charged by the Act with certain duties and responsibilities. Listed in our council bylaws are 10 functions mandated by the Act. I'd like to reference two of them. The first is that we prepare a regional master plan, which we did without identifying receiving zones. And the second is that we establish a TDR program. In establishing the TDR program, it states that we shall identify sending areas and receiving areas, and we may establish a TDR bank. We've established a bank, and we have received sending areas, no receiving areas. We're in violation of our bylaws. I think this is a serious problem. We adopted the regional master plan without receiving zones. We adopted the TDR program, which is unworkable and not in compliance with the Act. My question now is, how do we remedy this situation? Does anybody else have any comments on that?
First of all, I don't think that we are in violation. Is there someone else speaking? Okay, I don't think we are in violation, as you say. As you know, in the Highlands Act, as compared to the Pinelands Act, it is not mandatory for towns to have receiving areas, that they will have be, you know, receive the TDR from other towns. I just would ask our executive director if she or the staff would like to respond to this. Hello.
Yes, yes. So, you know, as you know, Councilmember Vodin, we have had several briefings with council members to bring you up to speed on the status of the program. And I know that I think Christine has also done a very limited review of some of the concerns that were raised, as have James. So I don't know if, Christine, you feel you want to interject at this point, or whether, you know, we should just have James give a very brief overview of some of the key substantive points that you raised.
Well, I could just add that our chairman is correct. We are not in violation of the Highlands Act. And frankly, the case law that does exist on this issue acknowledges that even the issue of whether we are required to identify 4% of the land area in our regional master plan, that's been acknowledged as a goal, not a actual, you know, cap that we have to acknowledge. And so we are not... whatever case law exists has acknowledged that what we've done is appropriate.
So Christine, so, Mr. Vodin made a claim about what is said in the Act, and Chairman Richko did not challenge what Mr. Vodin said about what's in the Act. He simply said we're in compliance, and you've said, oh, well, we are in compliance. So what about Mr. Vodin's statements is wrong, other than his conclusion? Because if his statements aren't wrong, then it's hard to dispute the conclusion.
I'm not sure I understand the point you're making.
Mr. Vodin laid out very specific stipulations in the Act and concluded, therefore, that we are in violation of the Act. You've not disputed any of his stipulations. Carl just disputed his conclusion. What about his stipulations is wrong?
I think that was answered by our attorney. I'm going to drop off. No disrespect to anybody, but I have things that I have to do. I'm going to drop off because this really doesn't, I don't even understand why we're having this discussion, but I appreciate the legal advice that we got from our attorney, because I listen to attorneys and not people that used to be Freeholders or somebody who doesn't have a law degree. So I have to get off. I have things I have to get done. no disrespect to anybody, but I absolutely have to go for other reasons.
That may damn well be
Lisa, I'll talk to you tomorrow about why.
Right. Thank you. Council members, let's hold this to being civil about it. Let's continue our discussion. If we're going to have a discussion, let's do it one at a time, and let's be civil. Thank you.
So, Mr. Chairman, if I can make a recommendation, I think that if council members wish to continue to discuss this issue, in addition to the briefings that were held, the appropriate committee where this issue is discussed is the RMP Amendment Committee, chaired by Councilmember Alstead. And if there is an interest, I would say, in council members continuing to discuss this issue, that would be the appropriate place to do so.
Well, if I may.
I agree.
This is a public meeting, right? Where we're supposed to deliberate these issues. Committees are private, out of the view of the public. Why is this not the appropriate time to raise this issue? This is, as I look at the agenda, new and old business. Why can't we have a discussion about this now? That does not seem to be in keeping with having an open dialogue about these issues to try to shuffle it off to a committee because we don't have a good answer at the moment.
Council members have the right to bring up anything they would like in old and new business. That is correct. Okay. Is there anyone else that would like to speak on old or new business?
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to give you a brief update on issue with Lake Apakon.
Yes, please.
I'm not done with this. With this issue, we're getting off this issue. I would like
go
to
ahead.
Continue
go
discussion.
Ahead.
Okay, I think
we'll
that
come
the
back staff, to you, Council Members, Council Member Francis, will come back to you.
Okay, it specifically states in the Act how this should be handled. It states the council shall not adopt the regional master plan unless it identifies receiving zones pursuant to the Transfer Development Rights Program, and that's in Section 8. And it refers you to Section 13. And Section 13 says that we shall not adopt the regional master plan without 4% of the lands in the planning area being designated, identified, and identified, that's meets and bounds. I know at our meeting, we brought up a map. There are a couple of maps. There's a map that's shown in the master plan. There's a map that's shown in the TDR technical report that vaguely shows areas that would be potential receiving zones. TDR programs are so important to this act and compensation to the landowners. You know what? I'm passionate about environmental protection, also property rights. We have to look out for our landowners, our neighbors. And this is the TDR program is such an important part. Our own master plan says that without receiving zones, that this plan won't exceed.
Mr. Chairman, it's Mike Dressler.
Wait a minute. Council Member Dressler, let's let Council Member Vodin finish and then we'll go from there. Council Member Vodin.
Okay, I think there's an easy way to resolve this. And I'd like to make a motion that we instruct the executive director to have the staff recommend and identify 4% of the planning area as receiving zones as required in the act and the recommend and the master plan and our bylaws. I mean, here we meet month after month, year after year, and nothing's happened with these receiving zones. We're spending a lot of money on grants, and none of these municipalities are going to accept the receiving zone. I mean, you know, the township committee, the mayors of the communities, and when they go to their people and say, well, we're going to accept higher density, more homes, including COA units in town, we're going to accept the receiving zone. Not going to happen. Not backyards alive and well. It's really working in the area. And unless we start at someplace, let's at least designate these receiving zones in the planning area, identify them. It's voluntary. I know it's a little bit of work to do this, but there's all kinds of guidelines in the Act and the master plan on how this could be done. if we had receiving areas, voluntary receiving areas designated, identified, recognized in the towns that are applying for you know, at least the mayor, the township committee, the chairman of the planning board could say, well, we have receiving zones already. Why don't we take a look at them? We see where it's going. Grant after grant, nothing happens and nothing is going to happen. And we're not going to have a TDR program. The basis of a TDR program is to have sending zones and receiving zones. We don't need a TDR bank because it's spelled out that that a landowner can apply for his credits for his sending zone, and he can sell them himself to a developer. We don't even need the TDR bank, which is funded now by the state. I don't know if there's any money left in that fund, but the supply and demand for these credits is not going to go any place if there's no place to spend them. I would like to make that motion.
Council member Bowden, when we met on this, it was about an hour long meeting with the staff. A lot of the questions that you are asking now were answered. I guess you don't agree with the answers that were given by the staff, but I do agree with their answers. I will ask Council Member Dressler now, who wanted to say something before, if you would like to speak.
Mr. Chairman, also Mr. Alstead and Mr. Van Ebs have their hands raised to speak on this issue.
All right, let's have, one of the things about this in public session is that we do have committees, and as the executive director mentioned before, that we should discuss this in the RMP committee meeting. Let's go to Council Member Dressler.
Mr. Chairman, may I suggest this? Council Member Bowden has a written statement down. Could he present that to us so that we could sit and make an intelligent decision on this and look at what he's saying up against the act itself and make a determination?
We certainly could do that in committee. And as Executive Director Clevin, we will discuss this in our RMP meeting. Let's see,
I would like to be able to have what Rich put down in front of me and compare it to the act to see, you know, where we are.
We certainly could ask Council Member Bowden to forward his questions or comments to our executive director, who could then forward them to us.
I will, Richard Bowden. I will submit my comments.
Council Member Bowden, hold on. We have other people that want to speak. Council Member Van Apps.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm looking at the act. In section 13, it says the council shall set a goal, it says goal, of identifying areas in the planning area that are appropriate for development as voluntary receiving zones that combined together constitute 4% of the land area of the planning area. And then it says, to the extent that the goal is compatible with the amount and type of human development and activity that would not compromise the integrity of the ecosystem of the planning area, right? So that's what the act actually says. The other point that I will make is with regard to the map that is in the regional master plan of potential voluntary receiving zones, that is a printing of a highly detailed map that is in the geographic information system. And so it is possible to go down to lot and block with that mapping process. And I know that in detail, that it is feasible to do that. So we shouldn't be talking about a map as being vague because it was based in GIS and that's not vague. It's down to lot and block. All right. And we should always pay attention to the act as it's actually written, which I have just quoted to you. I do believe that going to committee is very appropriate. And then, of course, as with all committees, it should report back to the council where we can then have a discussion about what should be done next.
Thank you, Council Member Van Ebs. I think Council Member Alstead wanted to say something.
Yeah, thank you. And I appreciate everybody's remarks. And I'm certainly passionate about doing what we can do to help achieve better success with the TDR program. And everybody has shared very appropriate remarks. You know, Dan, that I think where the confusion lies a little bit in that same paragraph that you just quoted at the very beginning, it also states that the council shall identify areas within the planning area that are appropriate for development as voluntary receiving zones. And I think I could support an argument that when we hold municipalities like Parsippany accountable to include a review for potential TDR receiving, we are sort of de facto identifying areas. I think we did the same for Hackettstown, Washington Borough just included it. Other towns have. So while we can argue or we could suggest that we've kind of done it, I would also allow that we haven't been really formal in the way that we have identified these areas in a very long time. And if unless committee composition has changed, I think Rich and Mike are on the Regional Master Plan Amendment Review Committee with me. And I think, you know, it would be healthy to do a continual review of this and for all of us to report back. So if that's suitable to the council, I'm up to the task with the committee.
Okay, I'll discuss it with our executive director. We'll get back to you as far as having a addition to the next RMP meeting about the TDR program. All right, anyone else from the council?
I would like to, I have a couple more comments, yes. Richie Bowden. First of all, I will submit my comments. I'll email them to Lisa for the record. Go back to the act. It says in the act, the council shall, within 18 months after the date of its first meeting. And then it goes on to say the council shall not adopt the regional master plan unless it identifies receiving zones pursuant to the transfer development rights program. It goes to section 13. Okay. There was a revision to the act. It was a lot of you from, that were in on this early might remember it. The original act stated that 4% of each planning area shall be designated as a receiving area. And that was traded off, if I remember right, for the fast track bill, gave the contractors an opportunity, which was rescinded by Governor Corzine. But it was originally 4% of each planning area. Now it says, it shall constitute 4% of the land area in the planning area. If you go into section 11 of the act, they talk about we should identify, not just identify the areas, but identify transportation, water, wastewater, and power infrastructure that would support or limit development and redevelopment of planning area. And it goes on to talk about the voluntary receiving areas. Section E of 11, it says identify potential voluntary receiving areas and a planning area for the transfer of development rights through appropriate expansion. I mean, it's spelled out distinctly in the act, and I feel that this should be, this is our responsibility. We aren't given that many responsibilities here as a council, us council members. We have our bylaws. There's 10 items in the bylaws. Two of them we're talking about here.
Okay. Council Member Vogt, we have different interpretations of what you were just discussing. So let's continue this discussion with the RMP committee, which you're a member of. I think Council Member Francis, you had wanted to speak about something that had to do with, I think, Lake Apakon.
Yes, I promise I'll be brief.
Okay, thank you.
Although it's winter time and we have a lot of snow and ice, we're still working for the health and benefit of Lake Apakon. The local mayors meet regularly. We have a February 23rd meeting with the DEP. Instead of going down, it'll be virtual. I'm anxious to meet the new director. And our conversation, of course, is going to be about the HABs particularly. We have some new approaches to it. I personally have been involved with that. The and along with the Lake Foundation and Lake Commission, we're working very hard to keep our lake healthy. It's a challenge, to say the least. In a PacCon, we're taking 40 lakefront septics offline with a sewer line extension that's ready to go. Our aeration project in Crescent Cove, which got started late, was a phenomenal success. I'm going to talk about a proposal I want to give to the DEP about treating HABs with another biological treatment that is non-hazardous, and it treats it with a different treatment that actually mitigates the blue-green algae locally, actually. We have a lot of stuff going on. We are the Lake Apacon Commission and the Lake Apacon Foundation continue to do a great job with stream restorations and other treatments to the lake. For example, we're at Witten Park in Apacon will be extensively changed. There's a stream that runs through there. It drains the whole mountain. They've been measuring salt. So that will be a combination of mitigating the stormwater running off the mountain. There's two big pipes to come in there, and it's just a mess. So there'll be some retention ponds, and it's pretty structured. We have Rutgers working with us along with the engineers. So there's a lot going on, and I'll report regularly on our lake. I think it's important that the council knows what's going on with the largest lake in the state of New Jersey. And, you know, it is about the water, folks. That's why we're here, really. That's one of the reasons. So we'll continue to work on the watershed, but we got a lot of great people doing that, but I'm focused on the lake. It's kind of sick right now, and there are ways that we can treat that. One of my big issues, of course, is herbicides. I absolutely think it's atrocious what the state is allowing to happen in our lake with herbicides. It's pretty much uncontrolled, and I believe we've convinced them to take a look at their policies on that. But that being said, I'll keep you at our regular meetings. I'll try to keep you posted on what's going on with the background. Thanks.
Thank you, Council Member Francis. I just want to say that I know that Greenwood Lake, the second largest lake in New Jersey, is working with Lake Apacon. The associations or the commissions are working together on these issues. So that's really great.
Yeah, I'm working with them personally, actually.
Yes, very good. All right, anyone else from the council have anything else on old or new business?
Yes, Carl, if I may, Chairman.
Yes.
So one of the best things about this council is the way we work together. And we vehemently disagree on a lot of issues, and we agree on a lot of issues. And we have found a lot of common ground around landowner compensation. We've found a lot of common ground around responsible development. And we have areas where we still don't have common ground. But when we discuss these things, we don't take personal shots at each other or demean other members. And what the freeholder did before he cowardly left the meeting is shameful. To take a shot at Mr. Bowen and myself and then drop off the call is cowardice. It is beneath the way that we have worked with each other for many, many years. And he should be admonished for it. And I'll repeat this at the next meeting when he's here. This is not the way we treat each other. And we've had new members come on board, Mr. Van Abs, and he and I disagree vehemently, but he speaks respectfully. He cites the act. He's a good guy. We just disagree on policy. And I would hope that this is not a pattern that's emerging where we start taking cheap shots at each other, because that's not the way we've treated each other since day one of my time here on the council.
Thank you.
To Mr. Bowden's remarks on the TDR program.
Yes, thank you. Yes, you are correct. We have disagreements, but we do work together, and we'll try to continue to do that. Anyone else from the council have anything on old or new business? If not, we'll move on to public comments. We will now open the meeting for any general public comments. Before I ask Herb to provide instructions, I just want to remind the public that we welcome comments, suggestions, and questions of any kind during the public comment period. However, the purpose of this is to allow public comment, not to engage in dialogue. If you have a specific question, please feel free to pose it and then follow up with staff via phone or email. Herb, please provide instruction for public comment.
Thank you, Mr. Richko. Members of the public wishing to speak should use the raise hand option or dial *9 on your phones, and I'll identify you by your name or last four digits of your phone number. Please begin by providing your name and any organization you represent and indicate when you are finished with your comment. Comments are limited to 3 minutes. Mr. Chairman, I have last four digits are 4723. I'm going to unmute you at this time.
Okay, I think that's Hank Klump. Hank, are you on? Yes, Hank.
Yeah, hey, a couple of things that I'd like to say. One is my deepest sympathy to Kurt and his family on his wife passing away. It's true to life, and you still have to keep her going. You know what I mean? So my deepest sympathy and condolence to everyone in your family. I also want to...
Thank you very much, Hank. I appreciate it.
Okay, Kurt. And if there's anything I can do, you know what I mean, holla. You know what I mean. So,
what you got to do here is keep it to 3 minutes, Hank.
I catch you. The other thing is that one of our supporters, there's three of us, Dave Schrope and Debbie Post and myself. Debbie has passed away also, which is something that I don't know whether the council knows about it or whatever, but she's been a fighter for the landowners or property owners or however you want to say in the Highlands Act, and she'll be deeply missed. So I'd just like to have a moment of silence for her, if that's possible. Rich, can we do something like that or no?
Well, I think we're going to continue the meeting. Yes, you are correct. Thank you for bringing up that, you know, Debbie passed on. We all were aware of that. Executive Director Plevin did send us the obituary, and she did have an amazing life. Unfortunately, I guess her last couple of months were very tough. And, you know, we will hold her in our thoughts. So thank you for bringing that up. You have anything else, Hank?
Yeah, Rich, on this here thing that Mr. Voden brought up, which is kind of a hornet's nest, because just to give you a little history, and I've been around this as long as Kurt's been, and the act, when it was passed, was supposed to have a TDR program in place within 18 months. Well, I may be wrong a year or two, but I think it took 4 or 5 years before we got a TDR program, but it never, never had a sending district. And I even brought that up on this Washington application. But here's the thing, I don't know, but somebody would know, maybe Lisa could find out how much money was spent for to get Washington where they are today, you know, grant money, you know, and then in return, you know, maybe they could have found a sending district or something like that. But importantly, you know, this is something which the act should have had, I mean, or dissolved the act, but that's not going to happen. But I would like to have, when you discuss this thing, I mean, it's our land that we have the problem with. But down in the Pine Lands, they did designate sending areas there. And that was the difference between the Highlands Act and the Pine Lands Act.
Hank, your 3 minutes are up, but please conclude.
Okay. Well, that's it. And I'm 100%. And I hope Mike Dressler gets this, you know, Mike's pretty sharp with this kind of stuff, and, you know, to really try to find the end or the solution one way or other. Either that or we're doing something that's illegal. So
thank you.
On that, I'll hang it up.
Thank you. All right. Anyone else like to address the council? Anyone else from the public? What do we have here, Herb?
Yes, Mr. Chairman, we have 1079. I'm going to unmute you at this time.
Okay.
Hello.
Yes.
The name is David Chope. I have a few comments. Interestingly enough, I've not had anything about the State Planning Commission's comments on the fact that we have essentially an inoperative transfer of development rights program. And the proof of the pudding here is the Highlands Bank has not been able to sell a single TDR credit anywhere in the state, not one. That's a sufficient proof of a flop as far as I'm concerned. And has the State Planning Commission, who endorsed the Highlands plan, said anything about the TDR program? That's my question to you. And what are the additional costs to applications that like we heard today, that have to be borne by the applicant? Can the Highlands fund provide developers funds necessary to have a level playing field with applicants from other parts of the state? I don't see why not. It's an additional cost to be borne exclusively by Highlands applicants, ostensibly to the benefit of the rest of the state in terms of essentially water at great cost to us and lesser cost to them. And I'll leave it at that. I will conclude with those comments.
Okay, thank you for your comments. Herb, do we have anyone else that would like to speak to the council?
Yes, Mr. Chairman, Mr. Ingenamort. Mr. Ingenamort, I'm going to unmute you at this time.
Okay, thank you very much for that. I hope you can hear me.
Yes, we can.
Great, thank you. I'll be very brief. I want to very much thank Lisa Plevin and Corey Piasecki for their responsiveness to us here in Chester Township on a whole host of matters. It's very much appreciated, and specifically on a letter that I had shared with the Highlands Council at the end of last month, the end of January. In that letter, and I don't know if Highlands Council members have seen that letter or not, but I'll just briefly recap. I had asked that you consider a policy change, the nature of it being allowing municipalities that have reached their limit for impervious coverage in one municipal park, but not another, to utilize an allowance from that other park in the former. Essentially swapping impervious coverage limits, which in my opinion would allow important projects to move forward or at least be considered while simultaneously locking in a lower impervious coverage allowance in other municipal parks, the net essentially being the same. And by way of background, this comes as a result of our desire among some folks here in town in Chester Township to have an open air pavilion constructed in Chubb Park, which is in the preservation area. We do not have a particular size in mind for what this pavilion might be, but regardless, we know that we are at the maximum allowable impervious coverage limit in Chubb Park, regardless. Lisa, thank you again. You informed me that the Highlands Council does not have the authority to make such a change and that it instead should come from the DEP. Please keep me honest, and I will be sure to pursue that avenue. But I did at least want to share with the council this concept and just confirm, if I may, that the Highlands Council does not have a role in guiding this policy question, but instead it must come from the DEP.
Thank you, Mike, for your comments. All right. Thank you, Mike. Anyone else on the queue here?
Mr. Chairman, I don't see anybody on the queue, but at this time, I'd just like to remind members of the public, you can use the raise hand function or press *9 if we would just give it that same 10 seconds just to catch any stragglers.
Okay, I'm going to close the public comments, and we need a motion to adjourn.
So, Mr. Chairman.
Carl, it's Kirk. Can I just make a quick comment?
Certainly.
Relative to Councilman Ingenamort's comments, that's something that I've have raised in discussion with our executive director in the past, and I think it's a subject worthy of our review, and perhaps we don't have the authority to enact that policy, but perhaps we should create a position, because I think that Highland preservation municipalities are hamstrung a bit by that limitation, depending on upon how their parks are organized by block and lot. And I think sometimes really effective and sound planning principles can be achieved if we can provide some flexibility through some sort of policy that would allow the transfer of impervious coverage while maintaining the same level of impervious coverage municipality-wide. Perhaps if we're going to be convening a meeting of the Regional Master Plan Amendment Committee, perhaps we can take that up as well and do a cursory review and report back to the council on it. So I just wanted to get you thinking about that and the rest of the council members.
Yes, Kurt, we certainly can do that. Anyone else from the council before we adjourn? Okay, we need a motion to adjourn.
Oh, Mike Dressler, so moved.
So moved by Councilmember Dressler. Second?
Second.
Okay, seconded by Councilmember Walton, I think. Yes. Yes. All right. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Those opposed?
Aye.
All right. The New Jersey Highlands Council meeting of February 18, 2021 is now adjourned. Everyone, please stay safe.